How do we square hate speech laws with the First Amendment? Tyler O'Neill of the Heritage Foundation writes on topics like this. He authored a book on the Southern Poverty Law Center, the SPLC, which explicitly, that is, the SPLC does this, it explicitly lumps in conservative Christian groups like D. James Kennedy Ministries, the American Family Association, Family Research Council, the Alliance Defending Freedom, etc., with genuine hate groups like the Ku Klux Klan. Why did they do this? Because of the Christian group's refusal to accept same-sex marriage, etc. In a recent article which mentions the SPLC, Tyler O'Neill of the Heritage Foundation writes, "As I explain in my book, Making Hate Pay, The Corruption of the Southern Poverty Law Center, the SPLC took the program it used to bankrupt organizations associated with the Ku Klux Klan and weaponized it against conservative groups, partially in order to scare donors into ponying up cash and partially to silence its ideological opponents," end quote. This is Focal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Tyler O'Neill of the Heritage Foundation, who wrote those words, he joins us. And by the way, he is the managing editor of the Daily Signal of the Heritage Foundation. Tyler, it's great to talk with you. I don't think we've ever talked before on the phone before this conversation, but I've followed your work from afar and have been very appreciative, especially because the SPLC does that terrible thing that you just described so well in your article, where they lump in legitimate Christian ministries with hate groups like skinheads.
Yeah. Thanks, Jerry. It's good to be here. It is really shocking, though, how the SPLC has continued to do this, consistently for over a decade now after they added the Family Research Council. And the interesting thing is, you know, there was a terrorist attack against the Family Research Council back in 2012 when a man who later pled guilty on terrorism charges, came in with a handgun and a bag of Chick-fil-A chicken sandwiches, planning to kill everyone in the building and smear the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich in their faces. And, you know, the SPLC dutifully condemned the attack. The man actually confessed he used the SPLC hate map to target FRC. Thank God he was stopped. Brave security guard took two shots in taking him down. The security guard wrestled him to the ground, but sustained two shots in the experience. He's permanently wounded, but, you know, mostly recovered now, thank God. The perpetrator is in prison, but the Southern Poverty Law Center, the FRC, is still on the hate map with the SPLC. And, you know, this is more than 10 years later now. And the SPLC continues, you know, they condemned the attack, but they wouldn't remove groups like FRC, ADF, you know, as you mentioned, James Kennedy Ministries from the list.
Well, how about some comments about the First Amendment as the Founding Fathers envisioned it? It seems like it's being violated in this kind of thing. You know, the First Amendment also, of course, speaks about religious freedom. In fact, that's the very first freedom listed.
Yeah. Well, the First Amendment is interesting because modern Supreme Court jurisprudence on free speech has arguably gone too far in one direction. And if you look at the way that the founders envisioned the First Amendment and what they meant with free speech and freedom of the press, they never intended to allow defamation of character or libel and slander. And these are the kinds of things that arguably, you know, the SPLC is doing by routinely placing these conservative and Christian organizations on this map with Ku Klux Klan chapters. I mean, it's especially given the history of it. And I know, you know, D. James Kennedy Ministries filed a very important defamation lawsuit that was considered at the Supreme Court, but ultimately rejected because of New York Times v. Sullivan. But I think the case can very, very well be made that, that was not the right decision. And with that, but, the court has said, Clarence Thomas, and I believe it's Neil Gorsuch, has said that they'd like to revisit the New York Times v. Sullivan standard on actual malice because it's, it limits really circumspectly in a way the founders would not have supported who can sue for defamation.
You know, I guess in some ways the question is, or one question is, what is hate speech and who gets to define what is hate?
Yeah. Well, and that's the key question here, because when it comes to, you know, hate can be a very malleable term, and hate speech in general, as it is criminalized in many laws, it's normally an additional, like, there are hate crimes that are additional penalties and steps above what would also already be considered a crime. And so these are when someone is targeted for inherent characteristics like their race, their sex, characteristics such as that. These violating a hate crime law can lead to stiffer penalties. But when you get into hate, the issue itself of hate speech is very difficult, because at what point can you criminalize something and not be violating the First Amendment free speech? You know, there's one thing if you have defamation. It's another thing if you're, you know, yelling fire in a crowded room. But even if you're saying something very vile to somebody else that, you know, maybe someone on the street would think is actually hateful, I don't think that can or should be criminalized under the First Amendment.
Well, I have interviewed through the years David Barton, and, you know, he writes a lot about America's Christian history. And, you know, some people view him as controversial and so forth. But there was a profile on him in the Southern Poverty Law Center in their hate map, or actually it was more, I guess, in their profiles of extremists of hate.
Yeah.
And so it's just really crazy. So you see David Duke. Okay. I can understand that. There's a guy, you know, affiliated to a former Dragon Master or whatever that, you know, for the KKK. But David Barton, I mean, come on, that doesn't make sense. You may disagree with David Barton. Okay, fine. You know, that's, you know, people can disagree, but it's ridiculous to call him a hater because you don't agree with his politics.
Yeah, exactly. It is ridiculous. But that's what the SPLC has done. I mean, they infamously put Ben Carson on that. You know, they created an extremist file of him. And what was his crime? Well, he said he believed that marriage is between one man and one woman. I mean, the thing that still gets me, and I mention this frequently because I know, you know, Jennifer Roback Morris personally, but she's this, you know, sweet lady who founded a nonprofit to help the victims of the sexual revolution. And she is herself a very strong Roman Catholic, and her organization, you know, she is quoted from the Catechism of the Catholic Church that homosexual acts are intrinsically disordered. When the Southern Poverty Law Center decided that her organization was a hate group, well, they have this section of in their own words, you know, these damning quotes that they suggest prove that someone is a hater or hate group. And in this case, they take her quote saying that homosexual acts are intrinsically disordered, which she lifted directly from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And they say she's a hate group. Her organization's a hate group because she says this. So my question is, and the SPLC has never responded to this, how is the entire Catholic Church not a hate group, according to that logic?
No, that's a great point. Now, there has been some shakeup in terms of the leadership of the SPLC, and that shakeup occurred after, you know, your expose, our expose, you know, that is the D. James Kennedy Ministries, you know, got involved and even tried to sue for, you know, for defamation. As you said, it didn't take. But bottom line is it possible that there's a link between that? Plus, there was a Muslim guy in England, I believe it was, who sued them, and they ended up settling out of court. But they were calling him an extremist of hate, and he was not embracing some of the hate measures that maybe some of his co-religionists do.
Yeah, they call him an anti-Islamic extremist, and he actually is a Muslim. He won a $3.3 million settlement, which I thought was particularly noteworthy. Well, the interesting thing is, I don't think these have direct relations. Not to say that you know, our work doesn't result in change. But in this particular case, the shakeup you're referring to, they fired the co-founder of the SPLC, Morris Dees, who was really the main force behind the organization. And my book spends a great deal of time on his personal history and how he shaped the organization. And actually, he was the one responsible for making it. It used to be, you know, just a public interest nonprofit representing poor people in the South who couldn't afford lawyers. But then he made it this this organization focused on attacking the KKK. And of course, you know, nobody supports the KKK. But interestingly, back then, many of the lawyers who had started at the SPLC actually left because they're like, hey, we didn't sign up to go sue Grand Dragons. You know, we signed up to represent poor people. And even then, they were moving away from the original mission. And that was before they started, you know, demonizing more or less mainstream conservatives. But yeah, he was fired in 2019 in a racial discrimination and sexual harassment scandal, which is particularly noteworthy because, you know, the SPLC claims to be fighting for black people and they had this scandal. But he was fired, the president stepped down, and even some of their board members decided to leave. But the organization has kind of kept a lot of the same vilifying, you know, style. And in fact, under President Trump, they ratcheted up their rhetoric to, you know, really, really to a 10. They said that there was hate in the 2020 election. And, you know, and then, of course, when January 6th happened, they decided that every single Republican who voted to contest the results of the 2020 election should either be barred from Congress or censored. So they're still the same organization. And recently they've stepped a little bit back, but I expect with the new Republican Congress and with the 2024 presidential election gearing up, I expect we're going to be hearing a lot more from them in the future.
Does the media still hold them, you know, as some sort of credible source of information?
Yes, tragically. And of course, you know, right after the Charlottesville riot took place in 2017, you had CNN posting the hate map uncritically on its website. And you had, you know, Apple CEO Tim Cook giving $1 million to the SPLC. We haven't seen moves that are quite that large recently. But every so often, and especially in local papers and occasionally in mainstream papers, you'll see people just uncritically citing the SPLC and saying, oh, this is a hate group and the SPLC says so, or how many hate groups are in your state? And no mention of any of the scandals, no mention of – and by the way, I mean, it's important to note, I can't believe I didn't say this earlier, but when Morris Dees got fired, Bob Moser, who is a former staffer at the SPLC, came forward and said, you know, gave an insider perspective that they were, you know, that all this hate accusation is a scheme to bilk Northern liberals out of their money, that all this is. And of course, many of us had been suspecting that you had, you know, and we've been seeing, you know, the exaggerations of hate that they had, some of the organizations on the list.
We have about 15 seconds left. Go ahead.
All right. Well, yeah, just to say, this organization cannot be relied upon as an arbiter of hate. And we, you know, I'm very glad to come on the show. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
And,
thank you.
Check out Making Hate Pay, the Corruption of the Southern Poverty Law Center.
All right. Heritage.org for more information. Tyler O'Neill, thanks so much. All the best.
Yep. DailySignal.com.
Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye.